Good morning. Welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. This is BRN AM for Thursday, April 4th, 2024. And our top story today, what do the new real estate commission rules mean for buyers and sellers? And joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Carl Delmont is with Freedmont Mortgage. Carl, so great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it really feels like deja vu. Carl, always a pleasure to chat with you about mortgages, real estate. The thing I want to focus on today is this recent settlement by the National Association of Realtors. Do you mind starting from the top? What is this settlement about and what is it? And we'll get into what it means for the industry in a second.
Yeah, well, I think first, let's start off with, right now, all the news out there is sort of speculative because no one really knows. Look, a judge could come in and say, turn around and say, we're not going to agree to this settlement. They could change it. There's a lot of things going on. But for what we know right now, there was a class action lawsuit and they won an absurd amount of money in the lawsuit. NAR came back and negotiated a settlement. And the settlement's going to pretty much protect just over 1 million realtors. There's a couple realtor firms that are excluded, not 100% sure why, but they'll be excluded from it. But the bottom line is they're agreeing to certain things that were in this class action lawsuit. It's called Stitzer Burnett, I believe is the name of the class action lawsuit. So, a lot of realtors are having their Zooms and their national meetings and everything else trying to figure out how to react to all this. So again, a lot of this is somewhat speculative, but I think that the most important thing people need to realize is that you can try to malign a realtor because they think, oh, wow, I sold my house for, $500,000 and a house sold in one day. Why did I need a realtor to make all this commission? I can give you examples of for sale by owner. Years ago, there was an attorney who decided she could represent herself in a transaction, tried to sell the house, had a bunch of situations, finally did sell it. She got sued by two potential buyers and the actual buyer for just doing things wrong by this, within the rules. So, again, do you really want to have that hassle? A realtor does a lot of things for you, and it's very, very important to understand what's going on. This might be the biggest monetary transaction you ever make in your life, buying a home. Do you really want to go it alone, or do you really want to go it with someone who's not that experienced? So I think the media needs to kind of get off, these realtors are doing this and they're making money hand over fist. That's not the case. They work really hard. And a good example of this might be when this comes through, it's interesting because, back in 2010, this happened to the loan officer business. They changed everything. We had the whole Dodd-Frank thing came in. Then we had the other things come in, the SAFE Act. And then, TRID and all these other things that all of us are thinking, how are we going to survive, right? And you adapt. And I think realtors are going to do the same thing. And this is just speculation, but I think what you might see is a buyer's agent say, hey, I'm going to charge you a flat fee. But if we see more than 10 homes, if you don't respond to me in a certain time, then there's a different fee. You might see seller's agents turn around and say, I'll do a flat fee. But if you want staging, it's this much. If you want me to take pictures, it's this much. So you might see things go along like that. You might see flat fees. In the UK, for instance, the average commission is 1%. It's a flat fee, but it's around 1%. So you see how they can say, well, wait a minute, 6% seems like a lot. It was always negotiable, but in a supply and demand situation, you're not going to see a lot of negotiating.
Yeah. And so the issue, forgetting the settlement, and you're right, it could be unwound. We're not going to touch on, we don't touch on politics on the network, but we just saw this happen in a mega case, not related to real estate. Again, not going to bring up politics. But by and large, the lawsuit was around that commission that mandated, for lack of a better word, 6%. And right. I mean, that's what we're talking about here is should every realtor, with limited exception, get 6% for the work that he or she or they perform?
Yeah, I think when you look at percentage, it's always different. I mean, is it more work for a $300,000 house than it is for a $700,000 house? But on a $700,000, you're making a higher commission. And I guess that's where maybe the consumer side says, wait a minute, you're not doing any more work. But a realtor might say, no, it's a lot more work because I'm trying to market a house that's not as desirable or whatever the case may be. But part of this is they're saying that they were offering compensation on the MLS and that they shouldn't have done that. Now, part of this settlement, as it is proposed, is they're going to get rid of that. But sellers can still offer concessions to buyers and things like that. So it's going to be interesting how this all transcends and transpires. But I think it's going to turn the industry up a little bit. But I have a lot of sayings that I love, and one of them is going to be, look, with change comes opportunity. And this is what the lenders and loan officers did back in 2010 and several years before and after. And I think this is a great opportunity for realtors to reset and see some things. Take advantage of it, embrace it. You're probably not going to change it. Again, a lawyer may come in, like we discussed, and maybe a lawyer, a judge may come in and just and maybe change things a little bit. But embrace it, act, go out there and say, look, things are changing. I'm your expert. In the world you want to sell, and this is going to go into effect supposedly in this summer. So this is a great time to start talking to your clients, your buyers that maybe aren't going to be ready to buy for a little while. Maybe listings that are saying, hey, I want to sell in the summer when my kid's out of school. This is a great way to say, look, I'm going to be your educator. I'm going to be your source of knowledge, and I'm going to be your advocate.
Yeah, and Carl, a lot of people, and you're right, absolutely. I don't consider myself a media person. I consider myself an advocate for savings, so that's what I consider myself to be. But yeah, there's a lot of clickbait speculation out there. I mean, a lot of people are thinking that real estate agents are going to go the way of the dodo. And look, just like the travel agent has, and I think travel agents serve an important role. Look, at 1 o'clock in the morning, if I have a problem, I need a human being. I want someone to be my advocate. The same thing with the real estate industry. These professionals, and they're certified, they're trained, they have to go through an extensive real estate program. They're not all the same, of course. Not everyone's the same. It's always about preference, but they serve an important role, whether you're buying a gazillion dollar house or your first starter house. They have to help you negotiate. They have to act in your best interest.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, we'll go back to sayings, and there's a saying that, the guy who represents himself in court has a fool for a client, right?
That's
I think,
true.
similar to if you're going to buy a house without a realtor, I think it's foolish. I think if you're going to sell a house without a realtor, I think it's foolish. And to prove that point, we're in a market where obviously there's way more demand than supply. So logic would dictate that you don't need a realtor. You just put a sign on your front yard and your house is going to sell, right? But FSBOs are lower now than they were, say, 4, 5, 6 years ago. So you wonder, like, are people starting to realize, wow, there's a lot of work that goes along with this, but there's a lot of legal liability if you don't understand what's going on. But switching subjects, one of the things no one's talking about, and I wanted to get this in because I'm not sure of our time, but no one's really talking about how's Fannie, Freddie, FHFA, HUD, how are they going to address this? Because what people aren't really talking about is how could this settlement impact lending? Like no down payment programs, seller concessions, all those things. They're going to have to rewrite all those laws because they were all based upon this current system that's been in place for what, decades, right? So now that's another thing that on our end, we're kind of concerned about because what if a buyer comes in or like, oh, wow, do I got to pay 2% to this agent now? Well, that's going to add to my down payment. Is the seller going to get creative and say, hey, we'll do some seller concessions? But right now we're capped at some of these things. So if this changes things and it impacts lending, then you have a ripple effect throughout housing, which is one of the major components of the economy.
Yeah, and I want to hold that over because I need to take a very quick break. When we come
Okay.
back, we're going to talk more about capping commissions, the negotiation process, and how do you pick a realtor? You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms? Especially for the smaller businesses. I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy. Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 yeah. years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you got to start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're going to change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network. Welcome back. We're joined this morning by Carl Delmont of Freedmont Mortgage. Carl, thanks so much for staying with us this morning.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Happy to be here.
All right. We've been talking about, I think ultimately it comes down to the value that the real estate professional provides to their client. And I want to talk about in this segment, how do you find the right real estate agent? Because what works for Jeff Snyder may not work for Carl or his daughter, who we learned last time you were on, that is thinking about buying a home, although you are helping her. So maybe you're acting as anyway. So how do we go about finding the right real estate agent for you and the right firm that he or she is tethered to?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And, you know, for my daughter, kind of lucky because I work with the best realtors in our area. So, you know, I was able to connect her with the one I thought was best for her situation. And one of the reasons I chose that realtor is his family are home improvement contractors. They've been doing it for generations. So in her price range, homes are going to need work. So it was great to have him there because he could point out, oh, you know, that could be this. That could be a sign of asbestos. That could be this. So it's good because why waste, you know, $300, $400, $500 on an inspection if your realtor's going to tell you these problems are going to be there. So, but finding a realtor, think about like this: when you go to a doctor maybe once a year, right? You go to a dentist maybe twice a year. How did you find that person? Was it your insurance company just said, okay, here's your doctor or dentist, go to them? Or did you ask questions? But my point is, you go to those people regularly. How many times does the average person buy a house in their lifetime? 3, maybe 4. So, and it's usually spread out. So the situation changes. Someone who bought a house in 2020, just a mere 4 years ago, is so different than it is today, right? Rates are different. Maybe demand's not quite the same as it was. People were waiving home inspections, all kinds of stuff. But the market, when you're going to purchase something, especially of this size, again, probably the biggest financial purchase you'll make in your life, do you really want to go at it because your second cousin's coworker recommended this realtor? They had a really cute smile on the little back of the shopping cart. And you thought, oh, that's nice. Now, I mean, you really have to find realtors. And the best thing to do is, you know, talk to a title company, talk to a loan officer. And then when they recommend, ask them why. One of the things we do at our company is we'll give, if people are come up and represented, we'll ask them questions, kind of like an interview. And we make this analogous to, we're like the HR person that has 300 resumes in front of them, but we got to give the top three to our boss. Well, that's what we're doing. We're weighting it down to the top three and getting it to you. And it's based on, what are you looking to do? Are you looking to buy waterfront property? Because you want someone who knows riparian rights. Are you looking at buying in the city? Well, you want someone who specializes in the city, because city, you go, you know, like Baltimore, for example, you go 2 blocks, totally different market. You'd be surprised, right? It could be, why is that house worth $70,000 more? It's only 2 blocks away. Well, it's closer to this, or less crime, or different taxes, whatever. But, you know, you want to find a realtor that's going to match up. So don't just take the first referral. Interview the realtor. Make it a job application. Like, all right, let me ask you this. Are you going to be available on weekends? Are you going to be, you know, what separates you? Why should I pick you as my realtor? I know it sounds cocky, but the good realtors are going to appreciate it because they know that you're sincere and you're a motivated seller or a motivated buyer. And that's who they want to work with anyway. But it's going to make it a much more smoother transaction because there's transparency. And you're setting things up and you're treating it as a business transaction, which it should be. When you treat, and you can attest to this, anytime you take finances and bring emotion into it, not a good result.
No, you're going to get a very poor result, actually. Yeah. And what you're describing, again, kind of bringing it back to the financial services industry and retirement, it's like picking a financial advisor. You want someone who's going to empathize, understand. Carl, does it matter? So we're talking about the individual, the realtor. Does it matter the size of the real estate brokerage that they're a part of? So if they're a part of a Long and Foster versus, a smaller firm, does that matter in terms of getting the best deal and the resources available to that realtor?
I think for that question, I think every market's a little bit different. You might be in a city where the small boutique realtor is going to be able to offer a lot more than, say, someone who works for a big box. But for me, I think if you had to generalize it, I would say pick the person, not the company, because that's who you'll be working with. Typically, the realtors are the ones who are analyzing what do the small companies offer, what do the big box companies offer. You're seeing that arises. Companies like eXp and Real, who are offering like almost like a referral type thing. So there's other ways to make money. So all of them have their nuances, but it's a technology and all the other things that they can offer. But really, you're hiring the person that's going to represent you, that's going to be your advocate, and is going to try to get you not just the best deal, but it's one of those things where I've seen clients make a highest offer, four offers on a house, and they're $50,000 more, and their deal gets rejected because the selling agent doesn't trust the lender that the client chose. And that's where a good realtor can talk to you, like, look, this internet lender you picked, I don't think anyone's going to accept this offer. Or this national lender you picked, maybe we're going to have some trouble because they've had some deals blow up in this area, and a lot of people are skittish. Whereas if you go with the realtor can tell you, look, this lender, we trust them. We've seen the deals get closed. I'm confident going in at what we're just over asking price, we're going to get the deal. And you do. And people are like, I can't believe we beat out three other offers that were higher. Because the realtor knows. Plus, good realtors, it's all about relationships, right? If a good realtor is out there representing you, the realtor on the other side knows that they're experienced and that they're going to shoot straight and they're playing fair. That's what they want to work with too, because you have two realtors. It's kind of like two lawyers, right? You have two lawyers fighting for you to get a divorce case. Do you want to drag this out when it's over, both of you are broke? Or do you want to find a way to work this divorce out quickly where everyone walks away financially intact? And I think that's what you look at realtors. They're there to help you, but also represent you and work with it. You don't want to get into, the negotiation unrepresented with the other agent. The other thing I would say is too, is when if you see an open house you like, you think, maybe we should be look buying. Don't go up unrepresented. If you walk into the house under today's rules, whoever's there becomes sort of your de facto agent. Now, what they'll do is because they don't want dual agency, they'll just turn you on to someone on their team. But that's kind of tough too. It's kind of like, what's a good example? Like you're originally from Baltimore, so we'll use the Ravens. When Ozzie Newsome was the general manager, could he also be Ray Lewis's agent? Like, who's he work for, the Ravens or Ray, right? And that's kind of the same thing. So you want to pick your agent first. And I would almost advocate pick your lender first, because that's the most important. But you want to get
The
that girl,
financing. You want to have the money.
get pre-approved. Make sure you're comfortable with the lender. Know all the programs out there. Weigh the options of should I go low down payment, no down payment? Should I save some of that money? It's a little bit higher payment here, but I got savings at least. Or should I put more down? How do I minimize the monthly MI? All those factors. And then that realtor, I mean, that loan officer can help you find a realtor, or at least that realtor works together. Now you have a tandem team handling everything for you. And then all you really need to do is figure out, hey, my HOI, my homeowner's insurance, get my lender everything they need. My accountant, get my lender everything they need. HR, get my lender everything they need. And then it's a nice, smooth transaction. You have experts, professionals working for you, and you're just really waiting for that 20 to 30 day window that you can go to closing.
Last question, Carl. When you pick your realtor and the firm he or she or they represent, do you sign? You have to sign some level of contract, right? And in that contract, see, you agree, you sign it. They agree to represent you. You agree that they will represent you, and then it probably has like a set of costs that you're going to pay, percentage, right?
Yeah, under the current system, the buyer doesn't typically pay anything. Sometimes there's a nominal fee, but for the most part, the seller pays everything. So if there was a 6% commission, the seller would pay that. This way, the buyer, you're not really in today's market, you're not paying for that representation, but you kind of are because it's built into the price, right?
Correct. Right. You're paying a commission on the
In
work, and
theory, would
they're.
it just be 6% less? But again, it's a transaction. For me, it's kind of like when you go to a restaurant and you tip. Some people tip on the total bill, some people only tip on before taxes. You look at all those little nuances and figure it out, but it's going to change. Under the new rules, the buyer's going to sign a separate contract, the seller's going to sign a new contract, and it's all going to be morphing as we speak, right? And I think it'll probably morph as the first few years as people get used to it, and then people will figure out, oh, you know what? We could do this, and that's okay under this settlement. I think you'll see creative ways to do it, but I think the consumer in some ways is going to win here because you're going to see realtors try to rush to be the best and to be the top. And you're going to see a lot of catering to, it's like anything else. If they want something bad enough, they start marketing towards it, and in any industry. So overall, do I think this is a great deal? I don't know. I don't think the system with realtors was broken. I think any kind of major upheaval, and I know we said we want to avoid politics, but it's when the government gets involved in free enterprise, it usually creates more cost to the consumer in the long run. And I think we're going to see that here, maybe not immediately, but down the road.
I just think about the education that's going to be needed with the new rules. It's a whole new regime and paradigm that's going to take everyone learning. So there's a learning curve associated with it that has a cost, that has time associated with it. Carl, we're going to have to leave it there. Great conversation as always. Thanks so much for joining us. And we look forward to having you back on the
I
program
appreciate
again
it.
very soon.
Thanks so much.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest, someone you think we should talk to, then drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the latest curated news and lifestyle, wellness, finance, tech, so much more, and all in one place. That's right, one place. Check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives, check out our latest content? Then visit our website. We're back again tomorrow with another edition of BRN AM. We'll have a very special guest and, of course, another important topic. Until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes. Now is your opportunity to co-create content around any topic on the First Lifestyle and Wellness Network. Reach a global audience through our platform and co-own exclusive branded content. All of our programs are available on demand and also as audio-only podcasts, so you can take us on the go. Broadcast Retirement Network, available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.